This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's late nights with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On KMOX.
Hey there. It's late night with Hancock and Kelly. You'll all be shocked to know that Michael Kelly is out of town. And, well, we wish him well. And he will be back in St. Louis one of these days. I know many of you are wondering about this college football championship game. The approximate score right now, Georgia is winning by 67-3. No, it's not. I don't know what it is, but it's a blowout. But if you're listening to this, you don't care about that. I am so fortunate to be joined in studio tonight by none other than the athletic director of Duchesne High School in St. Charles, Paul Boschert. He's also Michael Kelly's brother-in-law. Paul, thanks for filling in.
Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure to be here. It's kind of a lifelong dream of mine. I started out 42 years ago in education, and I had a double major back then. One was in education, one was in broadcasting.
And broadcasting at Lindenwood, you had a partner.
Bob Ramsey, who was on just a couple hours ago. So Bob was my mentor when I was at Lindenwood, and he steered me the right way, I think, is what he told me with education. But this is a lifelong dream, 42 years, and I'm finally getting a chance to be at KMOX.
There you are.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you. And you you were a longtime athletic director and coach at St. Charles West High School. You know a lot about high school athletics.
Yes, I've been very fortunate and blessed in my career. I started at Duchesne High School right out of Lindenwood.
Yeah.
I went back to my alma mater, spent 4 years there, and then my wife and I got married about that time.
Married into the Kelly family.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, there you are. Right?
And best move I ever made.
There you go. Yeah.
So I did that, had an opportunity to go over to St. Charles West, spent some time over there, and then I actually went out to Zumwalt West for a while as the AD out there when it was kind of a new school out there. Spent about 16 years there, retired, And then after a year of retirement, was kind of coaxed to go back to my alma mater at Duchesne and be the AD, and I've been doing that for the last 3 years.
And you've also coached. You've coached multiple different sports.
Yes. I was brought up with football, basketball, and baseball. Those are my three.
The big three.
Yeah. And you know, and I grew up in an era where that's what you did. You went from sport to sport to sport, where it's so specialized today. In high school, but I was fortunate enough to play those three sports in high school. Once I graduated from college, I jumped back into it and actually coached those three sports for multiple years and before I became an athletic director.
Well, I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about as it relates to high school athletics, and we're going to get to that as the show goes on. The other thing that Paul Boschert brings to the table is he's a lifelong, multi-generational St. Charles resident, and you don't that's a fairly rare breed these days. So much of that county is made up from with people who lived with me in North St. Louis County back in the day. And I remember we moved when I was in the sixth grade, and all of our neighbors moved to St. Charles. We didn't, but we almost did. And you think about how life would have been different if, you know, those life decisions that you make.
I think you're going to do a segment on that later. But,
yes.
But when I grew up in St. Charles, it was a small town, and it just blossomed. Everybody came out from North County over to St. Charles. So we can talk more about that probably later on.
They did. We would be remiss. There's some news breaking tonight, just out, reported by the New York Times and others, that Joe Biden, when he left the vice presidency, set up an office and where he worked out of. We're not sure how much he worked out of there. There's a lot. We know less than we don't know much about this. But what we do know is that some period of time ago, about a dozen classified documents were found in that office. Now, all of us are aware of what we've been through with former President Trump and the hundreds of classified documents that he had. And, you know, there's a Justice Department investigation. There's been a special prosecutor assigned to that case. And now here, all of a sudden, these documents are found with Joe Biden. Now, if you listen to the press coverage, Fox News says this is a massive scandal. CNN says it's quite a bit different than Donald Trump's. And none of us know what the facts are. We don't know what kinds of documents these are. We don't know what level of classification they had. We just don't know. But, Paul, the politics of this would seem to me this is a very unfortunate event for the Democrats.
Oh, well, all my friends had told me coming down, you're going to be on Hancock and Kelly. You don't know anything about politics. And I'm going to plead the fifth here, John, because I want to play it safe because, you know, I was raised a Republican in St. Charles.
I know
you were. Married into the Democratic family. And we've been on great as long as I've kind of kept my opinions quiet. So I'm going to trust you tonight, John.
All right. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a fairly significant finding. And we're going to learn more as the days and weeks roll on here. But we've already seen Donald Trump jump on this news and say, see, I told you everybody does this and blah, blah, blah. We don't know the circumstances here, and we don't know the significance of the documents here. But we do know that the House, now being controlled by Republicans, is probably going to conduct an investigation. I think we can be relatively assured that that's going to happen. And we also know that the Democrats are going to stress the differences between how Biden responded to the documents and the way the Trump universe responded to the documents. They were very reluctant to give them up, even after they'd been asked to provide them. So that's a story to keep an eye on. It's just breaking tonight, and don't want to talk a whole lot of politics tonight. We hardly ever talk about politics on Monday night, but since that was in the news, thought we'd do that. When we come back, Paul Boschert spent a lifetime in education, and just a tragic story out of Newport News, the six-year-old shooting his teacher. That case is unfolding. We're going to tackle that and talk about the remarkable recovery of Damar Hamlin. That's next on Hancock and Kelly, right here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Trusted information, live and local. From the award-winning KMOX Newsroom.
Back to Hancock and Kelly late night, sitting in for the vacationing Michael Kelly. There's always someone. And this week we have Paul Boschert, Michael's brother-in-law. More importantly, he's the athletic director at Deschenes High School in St. Charles. He's a 42-year educator. Paul and I usually, when Michael throws a party, we usually hole up and visit a lot. And I always have enjoyed talking to you and getting your insights on things.
Same to you, John. I've always said that same thing when Michael has a party together. You and I are some of the older folks there, so we kind of get off in the corner.
And I'm usually eating your wife's fake White Castles that she makes, which are amazing.
The sliders.
I mean, it tastes. It's like you're eating a White Castle right there.
You know, I help with that now.
Oh, you do?
I ground the meat.
You're the meat grinder.
That's what I do.
Well, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, the meat grinder. That's his nickname when he's coaching athletes out there. He's the meat grinder. Spending all this time in school, I mean, of course, we've had this rash of school shootings, mass shootings. We had one here in St. Louis not too many months ago. But this story out of Newport News where a six-year-old first grader brandished a weapon and shot his teacher is, I just almost don't have words. Can you even imagine something like that ever happening?
No, John. Like I said, all the years I've been in, you know, I taught elementary PE, and those six-year-old kids come in, and they're high-fiving you to come in to play ball or whatever it might be, play games.
First grade?
Yes. Yeah. I got a grandson. And when I came out, I just thought of that, and I thought, this is unimaginable that you see stuff like this. And, and I don't know where the problem lies, but it's just something that you just don't, it's hard to talk about. It really is.
You know, and how do you hold a six-year-old accountable in the criminal justice system that we have? And I don't envy those folks that have got to figure this out. But clearly, I think the parents bear a profound amount of responsibility here. And they've not said if they're going to charge the parents. I don't see how they can't.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I just know as a parent myself, you know, we always took control of our kids, and you always knew where they were at, what they were doing. Never you consider having a weapon as a six-year-old. I've never shot a weapon myself. I'm in my age. So I just don't, it's just unfathomable.
Have you noticed over, and you've been in a suburban school district, you know, mm-hmm. your entire career, would you say the kids today are that you encounter, are they about the same as they were 30 years ago, or have you noticed a difference in the culture?
It's a different culture right mm-hmm. now. I really have seen that, you know, today's story at the Cracker Barrel in St. Charles.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
That's, you know, we had an incident this morning at 5:30 this morning where three kids basically tried to hijack a car from the Cracker Barrel. Guy was out there taking the trash out, and one of them pulls a gun out and shoots him, and they get away, but I think they had a flat tire, and they were cornered over in Earth City, I believe. But you know, you sit there and you go, okay, how old were these guys? And you hear 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
That's our eighth grader. That's our freshman.
Yeah.
And so that's unfathomable as well.
Well, and that, you know, the carjacking problem that we have, and I'm sure it's not as bad in St. Charles as it is here in downtown St. Louis, but that's not uncommon to see a 14-year-old perpetrator. You know, the kids that robbed carjacked the deputy, the St. Louis Sheriff's deputy, after a hockey game, they were 14 years old.
And who's putting them up to it, John? That's what I always worry. I don't know if these kids are acting alone. You pretty much think that there's probably some adults.
And gang involvement.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of gang involvement throughout. And, you know, I don't envy the police that have to deal with this stuff, because the perpetrators are getting younger and younger and younger, and they cannot be held legally under our system of justice to the same standards that an adult can. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to be subject, if they happen to get prosecuted, which is always a coin flip in the city of St. Louis, but they just don't have to be subject to the same kinds of punishments. And a six-year-old kid... Mm-hmm. What happens? I mean, you know, I don't envy law enforcement and the prosecutors, the school district, and the folks that have to deal with that situation. I hope the parents are held fully accountable, because they should be.
And John, and what scares me as an educator, my three daughters are all in education.
Yeah.
The two oldest ones are married to educators. Okay. So I have five in my family. Actually, they're in the family business. And the stories that I hear from them at their particular schools as well, I never heard those stories 30 years ago when I was.
What do you think it is? Is it a breakdown in the fabric of families? Is it the exposure we have in multimedia and social media? A combination of everything?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I really do. I think you see the breakdown in the family is huge.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these young children that. They have a bad home life, and mm-hmm. so when they come to school, maybe something they saw at home, how they come, you just don't know what gets in these kids' minds to do this, but most of them, if you track back, it's a bad home life.
And then we ask educators to kind of step in and play that role, which they're not, that's not what they're trained to do.
Yeah. John, I'll give you an example. When I was an administrator in one of my schools, we had lunchroom supervision, and we had a fight break out.
Yeah.
By the time our, you know, resource officer, myself, and another principal got over to it, and you're breaking it up, okay, all the cell phones come out, and they're taking the pictures or videotaping this, and they're shooting that out. We're trying to get the kids situated, getting them to the main office. We can't get them to the office in enough time that their parents aren't on the phone talking to the principal, want to know what we're going to do with the kid to beat up their kid at school.
So wow, because they saw it.
They saw it, yeah, on video. So that's the thing. I think that part of it you didn't have 25, 30 years ago that we do today. It happens instantly.
Did you ever get in a fight when you were a kid?
Never.
Wow.
Never. I never did.
I had one. You know, I...
you don't want to talk, right?
I don't like to talk, but it's third grade.
No, I was a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. I was too.
I walked away.
So I was the... I'm not particularly gifted athletically. So in the third grade, you might remember Hank Stram, the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Henry Stram.
You remember Hank Stram?
Matriculating down the field.
Yes, and he would have his playbook rolled up into a scroll, and he'd carry it in his hand. So at recess in the third grade, I was Hank Stram. I was the coach, and I was drawing up plays, you know, and I had it rolled up in my hand there. And one of the players was not happy with my play calling that day. And he came at me. Yeah, Paul, he came at me. Keith, I'm not going to say his last name because he might still be living. He might still be. He probably lives in St. Charles now. And so Keith comes at me, and he took the first punch. He missed. I beat the tar out of him. And the fight was broken up by Miss Bowman, the fifth grade teacher who was very near retirement and perhaps beyond the natural retirement age of 65 at that time. And she broke up the fight handily, and that was my one and only altercation in
what was the consequence? Did anything happen to you?
I got a swat by Mr. Poe, the principal.
Okay.
Fielding A. Poe, who went to high school with my dad. So that was all kind of a full circle. But, yeah, Mr. Poe gave me a swat, and I never got another fight, and I never got another swat. So there you have it. But not all of the news out there is bad. And we've all been moved. It was a week ago tonight, probably not too far from this very moment, where Damar Hamlin, the safety of the Buffalo Bills, was in on a tackle on T. Higgins, got up, took two steps, and collapsed on the field. And I think many of us assumed that he was deceased, the way the seriousness, the players crying, what they were seeing. It was, I can't hardly remember anything like it. And today we learn that he's gone back to Buffalo. I mean, is that not just the most remarkable thing ever?
Yes, I think so, too. And I think that probably shows you how far we've come in our medical world right now, that these medics and physicians and trainers got on the field that quick and started the process. And I know they were giving CPR 9 minutes, they said. And yeah. I'm like you. I was watching that intently last week. I mean, we're all glued to the set. And it was just – and then you start to think – you know, you start to think, well, when did I see this before?
Yeah.
And I started thinking through my recollection of when I was younger. I used to work for Lindenwood. I worked on campus up there when the college hosted Cardinal football.
Yeah, that was the training camp.
Right. They had the training camp up there. And I just remember that J.V. Kane, who was the tight end guy.
Yeah, who was a remarkably gifted athlete. He was going to replace Jackie Smith. Mm-hmm. And so many people thought the sky's the limit for this guy.
Yes, and I thought the same thing. So I was on campus. I worked the 11 to 7. This happened before it went down. But I remember that was one of the situations I remember. And the other one, I think when you look at the city of Cincinnati, where this happened with Damar last week, was when John McSherry, the baseball
umpire,
collapsed on opening day.
Yeah.
And had a big...
What year? Do you remember what year that was?
1996. April 1st, 1996, opening day.
Yeah, because Cincinnati always opened the season. It was always opening day for baseball. And John McSherry, longtime umpire.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the best, in the best shape, shall we say. Big guy. Yeah, but it was it during the game or before the game that he collapsed with a heart attack?
I thought it was pretty close to the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Just collapsed at home. And, you know, so all those people in the stadium opening day, you know, had a full house. They had to witness this, too.
It does happen. And, of course, being a football coach for many years, I'm sure you've seen just a plethora of injuries on the football field. Yeah. But nothing like this, probably. No.
You know, when you say CPR, you know it's life and death.
Yeah.
But when somebody goes down with a broken bone or whatever, or concussion, which we do treat today.
Right.
Those are things that you know you're going to be able to pretty much address there at the field and then get them medical help afterwards where it's really not life-threatening, but those are serious injuries.
At high school athletics in the districts where you've worked, have they gotten better prepared to deal with something like this?
When I first started,
yeah,
the coaches were the trainers,
and
we don't know anything about medical. You know, so if somebody got hurt, you know, it was like, hey, you guys go ahead and drag that guy off when you run our drill.
Pick him up and get him off the field.
Or how many fingers I have up. You get that kind of a response. But since then, we've added training services, and I applaud the trainers that happened in Cincinnati last week, and I applaud all of our trainers that are high school.
And you have them now in the high school.
Now. Yeah, you betcha. We've got that, and we've got the AED machines that we've got, and we train all of our coaches and our staff. Luckily, we have not had to use those things,
right?
But they're there for us,
In a high school event, you don't just have the athletes on the field. You got parents, you got grandparents in the stands. I mean, stuff happens.
Yeah, and John, that did happen to us one time. I was the, I guess it was an athletic director, maybe about 10, 15 years ago. We were at a football game, and one of the grandparents of one of our players had a heart attack at halftime.
Yeah,
and he did perish.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things. It was a very tough night for us. Mm-hmm. So I do remember that when the grandparent did go.
Well, what happened with DeMar Hamlin was truly a miracle. And he's up, he's walking, he's talking, he's getting full possession of his faculties. It seems like, I'm sure medically there's still some more steps to go through and tests to take. And I heard the doctors today say they're going to try and figure out what the source may have been to cause that. The best speculation I've heard from cardiologists is that the heart rhythm in a particular cycle, getting hit in a particular place, it's kind of like a needle in a haystack. It can cause a defibrillator, AFib, and then the heart stops in very rare cases, and this obviously was one of them. Well, that's Doug Boschert, longtime coach, athletic director. He's been all over St. Charles schools. When we come back, he's also been in charge of sports officiating for youth, and that is a topic that fascinates me. We're going to visit with Doug Boschert more. It's Hancock and Kelly, late night on KMOX. And we're back. John Hancock alongside with Paul Boschert filling in for the out-of-town Michael Kelly. And we're taking full advantage of Doug Boschert, a 42-year educator, former football coach, basketball coach, baseball coach in various high schools in St. Charles County. He's the current athletic director of Deschenes High School. And I remember, our genes in the Hancock family are not particularly geared towards athletic achievement, shall we say. And so Junior, when he was finished with his sports career at about 12 years old, he went into officiating. He went to school, and he loves baseball and wanted to be an umpire, you know, for youth baseball. And I was really proud of him. He had the mask in the counter, you know, he had his shoes and the whole bit. And I remember how proud I was going to watch him umpire a bunch of 9-year-olds. And so I'm sitting in the stands, and everybody, and the parents are all much younger than I am, of course, of the athletes. So they probably thought I was a creeper. Anyway, Johnny's down there, and he's calling the balls and strikes, and some parent takes off after him. 9-year-old kid's playing baseball, and it's a 13-year-old umpire. And it got me to thinking, it's got to be getting tougher to find people. At that level and maybe beyond, and you've been involved in finding officials for a long time. What's going on?
Well, John, I spent 32 years. I needed a summer job. I kind of I'm a junior, and when I was teaching 9 months of the year, I had my summers off. I started umpiring myself, and luckily I was able to take over the assigning of the umpires. And so I was able to schedule throughout the summer slow pitch softball umpires. I also did some umpiring myself. But it's gotten to the point where it's gotten out of control, where there's that respect that you get from the players or the respect from the fans, we've lost that. And I think that's the problem that we're dealing with, not only with the slow pitch softball that I did, but we're talking about high school as well. They've done some surveys with our officials and in the high school level, and basically the number one reason why people give up officiating is the parents.
I think it's always kind of been out there, but it seems now like it's just out of control.
Yeah, it really is.
And what's driving that, Paul? Is it the fact that all these parents have these visions of their kids in the Major League Baseball someday when they're 10 and 12 years old and they're trying to get onto the select teams and there's so much pressure on these kids? Is that what's driving the bus?
It could be. It could be. I just, again, not sitting with the parents and figuring out what it is, but there's some games where the referee will stop the game, wave me over as the administrator and say, see that gentleman there in the front row? He has to go. And that's when I've got to go over and remove a parent that was upset at the game, at an official. And that's what's driving these officials out. We've got so many officials right now that are in their late 60s and 70s that are hanging on because their assigners are asking them, can you please hang on? We are low on officials, and we're trying to get the young kids to do this. And they get them out, John. They get them out for 1 or 2 years, and then these kids, they get raked over the coals by these parents, and they end up saying, you know what, enough's enough for
me. And we're talking now about high school sports. We're not
high
talking
school.
About 12-year-old baseball.
No,
Little
no,
League. We're talking about high school athletics.
Yes, absolutely.
Is it at a crisis level at this point?
I think it is, because now we're asking some of these guys. I'll give you an example. Last week we had our holiday basketball tournament.
Right.
I've got officials coming over doing the game and say, hey, this is my first of three that I'm going to be doing today.
Wow.
Officials were going from my place out maybe to St. Dominic and O'Fallon, and they were doing the Coaches versus Cancer at Maryville University. They would do three games a day. And you can imagine by the end of the day how tired they were.
Yeah.
And
are we talking basketball, right?
Yeah, talking basketball.
And that's, I mean, yeah. If you're going to be a baseball umpire is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can, heck, even at my girth, I could probably umpire a baseball game if I, you know, had to. But running that court or lacrosse or soccer, I mean, you've got to be very well fit to be an official in those sports.
You got to be athletic to be able to get up and down the floor, court,
yeah,
wherever it is. And, yeah, I just think, you know, the best year we had of umpiring,
mm-hmm,
and officiating was the COVID year.
Ah.
We had no parents.
Oh.
We had the kids.
So it really is a parent. And,
yeah,
you know, you put 100 random people together, you're going to have a jerk or two. I mean, mm-hmm, that's just a kind of a given. But I think it's much more than just the random jerk in the crowd these days. I really do think there is so much pressure on these families. I remember, I mean, when my son said he wanted to play football, I was all proud, and you know, you think, and then I saw him play. But but I do think there's so much pressure that parents are putting on these kids. I don't know if they're trying to live their own lives vicariously through their children, but psychologically, there's something going on, and I sense that it has gotten worse in recent years.
It has, and I've tried to go. You know, I try to be that buffer when I see something like that happening. I'll kind of work my way over to the parent and, you know, try to settle them down a little bit and say, you know, and they'll criticize the official. And I say, well, the guy out there is 68 years old. He should have retired about 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But if we don't have him, we don't have a game. And, you know, and then I'll ask the parent, hey, we're looking for officials. Would you like to officiate? And they'll say, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, right.
And that's part of the problem. You're trying to find people to be the solution to the,
because what happens, there'll be a call, and mm-hmm, it may be a bad call, and the parent will express their discontent with, and then they'll just harp and harp and harp on that official for the rest of the game. And you can readily understand why grown adults don't want to subject themselves to that.
And I always try to flip the tables. How would you like that official going to your place of employment during the day and sitting there and watch you work?
Yeah.
And criticize you. I don't know if that would work.
That would do it. So what's your favorite sport?
Boy, I guess I love the three, football, basketball.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to,
or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
And we're back. John Hancock alongside with Paul Boschert filling in for the out-of-town Michael Kelly. And we're taking full advantage of Doug Boschert, a 42-year educator, former football coach, basketball coach, baseball coach in various high schools in St. Charles County. He's the current athletic director of Deschenes High School. And I remember, our genes in the Hancock family are not particularly geared towards athletic achievement, shall we say. And so Junior, when he was finished with his sports career at about 12 years old, he went into officiating. He went to school, and he loves baseball and wanted to be an umpire, you know, for youth baseball. And I was really proud of him. He had the mask in the counter, you know, he had his shoes and the whole bit. And I remember how proud I was going to watch him umpire a bunch of 9-year-olds. And so I'm sitting in the stands, and everybody, the parents are all much younger than I am, of course, of the athletes. So they probably thought I was a creeper. Anyway, Johnny's down there, and he's calling the balls and strikes, and some parent takes off after him. 9-year-old kid's playing baseball, and it's a 13-year-old umpire. And it got me to thinking, it's got to be getting tougher to find people at that level and maybe beyond. And you've been involved in finding officials for a long time. What's going on?
Well, John, I spent 32 years. I needed a summer job. I kind of I'm a junior. And when I was teaching 9 months of the year, I had my summers off. I started umpiring myself.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I was able to take over the assigning of the umpires. And so I was able to schedule throughout the summer slow pitch softball umpires. I also did some umpiring myself. But it's gotten to the point where it's gotten out of control, where there's that respect that you get from the players or the respect from the fans. We've lost that. And I think that's the problem that we're dealing with, not only with the slow pitch softball that I did, but we're talking about high school as well. They've done some surveys with our officials and in the high school level, and basically, the number one reason why people give up officiating is the parents.
I think it's always kind of been out there, but it seems now like it's just out of control.
Yeah, it really is.
And what's driving that, Paul? Is it the fact that all these parents have these visions of their kids in the Major League Baseball someday when they're 10 and 12 years old and they're trying to get onto the select teams and there's so much pressure on these kids? Is that what's driving the bus?
It could be. It could be. I just, again, not sitting with the parents and figuring out what it is, but there's some games where the referee will stop the game, wave me over as the administrator and say, "See that gentleman there in the front row? He has to go." And that's when I've got to go over and remove a parent that was upset at the game, at an official. And that's what's driving these officials out. We've got so many officials right now that are in their late 60s and mm-hmm. 70s that are hanging on because their assigners are asking them, "Can you please hang on? We are low on officials, and we're trying to get the young kids to do this." And they get them out, John. They get them out for 1 or 2 years, and then these kids get raked over the coals by these parents, and they end up saying, "You know what? Enough's enough for me."
And we're talking now about high school sports. We're not
high
talking
school.
About 12-year-old baseball,
no,
or Little
no,
League. We're talking about high school athletics.
School. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Is it at a crisis level at this point?
I think it is, because now we're asking some of these guys. I'll give you an example. Last week we had our holiday basketball tournament.
Right.
I've got officials coming over doing the game and say, "Hey, this is my first of three that I'm going to be doing today."
Wow.
Officials are going from my place out maybe to St. Dominic and O'Fallon, and they were doing the Coaches versus Cancer at Maryville University. They would do three games a day. And you can imagine by the end of the day how tired they
were.
Yeah. And
we're talking basketball, right?
Yeah, we're talking basketball.
And that's,
there.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're going to be a baseball umpire is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can, heck, even at my girth, I could probably umpire a baseball game if I, you know, had to. But running that court or lacrosse or soccer, I mean, you've got to be very well fit to be an official in those sports.
You got to be athletic to be able to get up and down the floor, court,
yeah.
Wherever it is. And, I just think, The best year we had of umpiring and officiating was the COVID year.
Ah.
We had no parents.
Oh.
We had the kids.
So it really is a pair. And, you know, you put 100 random people together, you're going to have a jerk or two. I mean, that's just a kind of a given. But I think it's much more than just the random jerk in the crowd these days. I really do think there is so much pressure on these families. I remember, I mean, when my son said he wanted to play football, I was all proud. And, you know, you think, then I saw him play. But but I do think there's so much pressure that parents are putting on these kids. I don't know if they're trying to live their own lives vicariously through their children. But psychologically, there's something going on. And I sense that it has gotten worse in recent years.
It has. And I've tried to go... You know, I try to be that buffer when I see something like that happening. I'll kind of work my way over to the parent and, you know, try to settle them down a little bit and say, you know, and they'll criticize the official. And I say, well, the guy out there is 68 years old. He should have retired about 10, 15 years ago. But if we don't have him, we don't have a game. And, you know, and then I'll ask the parent, hey, we're looking for officials. Would you like to officiate? And they'll say, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, right.
And that's part of the problem. You're trying to find people to be the solution to the
problem. Because what happens, there'll be a call, and it may be a bad call, and the parent will express their discontent with it, and then they'll just harp and harp and harp on that official for the rest of the game. And you can readily understand why grown adults don't want to subject themselves to that.
Right. And I always try to flip the tables. How would you like that official going to your place of employment during the day and sitting there and watch you work and criticize you? I don't know if that would work.
That would do it. So what's your favorite sport?
Boy, I guess I love the three, football, basketball, right, baseball. Those are my three favorite that I try to follow the most.
Yeah.
And, those are my three favorites.
Your love of sports started when you were a wee little lad?
I was a wee little lad in St. Charles. And like I said, I played all three and enjoyed it from there. And like I said, and back in those days, John, it was you played for fun.
Yeah.
You know, there was no... You know,
select leagues and all of that. No, that's right.
It was our city teams got together and we played football. Then we went to basketball. We went to baseball. And that's how it went. There was no talk of scholarships or anything like that. You played for the fun of the game.
So we're a fairly contemporary in age. Were you a follower of the St. Louis Spirits?
I was.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember those days. Yeah. Freddie Lewis and Marvin Barnes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Double G.
Double G.
Gus Gerard. Yep. He was the three-point guy out there. Yep. And we had Moses Malone played on that team, did he not?
Yes, we did.
Caldwell Jones, I think, was on one. And they were around for just two seasons.
A couple seasons.
Right?
They were down there. Yes. And you remember who got his start in radio broadcast?
Bob Costas.
Bob Costas.
He was the voice of the Spirits. I listened to those games on KMOX. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I was, so that would have been, what, 73, 4, 5 in there?
Yes.
So I was, I don't know, 10, 11, 9, 10 years old, and I would set my Nerf basketball goal up in my bedroom, and I would shoot baskets and listen to the Spirits game, and I kept score. I kept a scorecard of how many points everybody was scoring. I'm sure you're acquainted with the story of how the owners of the Spirits resolved the merger of the ABA into the NBA.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I don't know. I don't remember. You got.
Oh, you don't remember that?
No, I don't remember this one.
So the teams in the ABA, several of them, Indiana Pacers.
The Kentucky Colonels, maybe?
Yeah, the Kentucky Colonels, I think, went bankrupt.
Right.
But the Pacers moved over to the NBA. Several of the teams did. The New York Nets, which was Dr. J's team. Moved into the NBA. Several of them went bankrupt, and then they had the Spirits, which weren't going bankrupt, but they weren't going to the NBA either, and the owners didn't have the kind of money to qualify for admission to the league. And this was in the mid-1970s, and professional basketball was not the cash cow then, certainly that it is now, you know. And so the owners of the Spirits... And we cut a deal with the NBA to take some small little percentage of the marketing revenue forever. And to make them go away, the owner said, okay, fine. And it was, you know, it would have been, I don't know, a couple $100,000, which was a lot of money back then. But it's a couple $100,000. Well, it ended up being billions of dollars over the course of the lifetime. And I think the NBA finally, a few years ago, paid them off. But those two owners, they were brothers, and... they made an absolute killing on the Spirit. The team they owned for 2 years had some very colorful characters. Remember Marvin Barnes would disappear for like a week at a time?
Yes. Do you remember when he was in school at Providence?
No, that would be no.
He's a 6'11 guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he robbed a liquor store up there. And he had his Letterman's jacket on. Dead giveaway. So that's another one of those colorful stories
you
talk about.
He was, the Cardinals had played, you mentioned the Kentucky Colonels. So we were in Louisville and we played the Kentucky Colonels. And back then they flew commercial. They didn't have chartered flights for AB-18. So it was a commercial flight from Louisville to St. Louis. And they were handing everybody out their boarding passes. And Marvin Barnes looks at it and it departs at 6:37. And it arrives in St. Louis at 5:28. And he says, I'm not getting on no damn time machine. He drove home. That was a colorful team. Well, that's Paul Boschert. I'm John Hancock. Paul Boschert has lived what is truly a phenomenal growth in St. Charles County. We're going to talk about that and what it might mean for this region after this on Hancock and Kelly. Well, we want to thank the Marines this evening, the few and the proud out there that are listening to the voice of St. Louis. If you were intent on watching that football game this evening, you're probably sadly disappointed unless you graduated from the University of Georgia. It is a blowout, even more so than any of us might have predicted. Well, Paul Boschert joins me in the studio here. He's the brother-in-law of Michael Kelly. He's the athletic director at Deschenes High School in St. Charles County. I've been talking about high school athletics quite a bit. And, you know, your family, the Boschert family, has a long and just fabulous history in St. Charles County. How far back do you guys go?
We go back, I believe, 1700s. We've got some books and things like that. You know, when the town was a very small little river town on the Missouri River.
There's a Boschert town, right?
Yes, there's a Boschert town, and a portion of my family settled down there on the farms. Uh-huh. And then and then my great-great-great-great grandfather founded Boschert Town Golf. No, go-karts down there. No, I always use that as a joke. But that's a little go-kart place, you see, as you leave St. Charles North 94 and go out to Orchard Farm and out that direction through Boschert Town. And that was all my ancestors as far as the farming is concerned. But back then, John, you know, from there, you went west to Lindenwood University.
Yeah.
Okay. You would go south to Highway 70. And then north would be down where Boschert Town, and then that was down.
For many years, there was one way in, one way out, right?
Oh, it's the old 115 bridge.
Yeah.
And that was a small bridge, and I'll never forget my dad drove a truck, and he had to come over that thing, and there was many a time that you just wonder how you got that corner turn and not scraping on that bridge.
It seems that, because I grew up in St. Louis County, and it seems like there was always this, I don't know, almost as if St. Charles was some mysterious place that, you know.
It's because that river split us.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that all the time, that people, you know, I see this in high school when you want to schedule a game. Man, we got to cross the river. Well, I know you do.
There's bridges now.
Yeah, there's bridges. We can get you across, and I cross to come play you, too.
But when did it start taking off? Was it the 70s or did it start before?
I think it was about the 70s. Uh-huh. No, I was probably in high school when it really started to take off. You know, for those of you that know St. Charles County, you know, as far as the high schools were concerned, you basically had the city school of St. Charles,
mm-hmm.
Duchenne, which came in 57. St. Charles is the oldest one there.
Right.
You had Fort Zumwalt by itself, Francis Howell out in Weldon Spring, and you had Wentzville. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's grown now where, you know, the Howells, the Zumwalts, and they've all split off into three or four schools. St. Charles West came in back in the late 70s. Wentzville now, four high schools.
Yeah. That's,
and the fifth one's coming.
The growth in Wentzville today that we're experiencing is just off the charts.
Yes. I said my two daughters, older ones, live out there and work out that direction. So, it's just everybody's kind of.
Was there concern from the long-timers there when the expansion started and all the houses start going up and people start moving in from largely North St. Louis County, but from all over? And you're seeing the populations take off and all of that. Was it welcomed by the folks that had been there a while, or were there some concerns about it?
I think it was welcome for the most part, but back when that was going on, I was a high school
young
kid,
guy,
yes, and I really didn't pay much attention to that.
Uh-huh.
But
you just had more friends. All
I
of
had
a sudden.
More friends. That's right. Yeah, but it was just a unique situation where the churches were five or six blocks away from each other in St. Charles. You had the Catholic, the Lutheran, United Church, and you know, the different churches that were all in that same area. And then you had a two-lane road to go out 94, dirt road that direction, and then you go out west. Everything out west back in the 70s and 80s was all farm.
Yeah, all of it.
It was all farmland.
Yeah.
And it just took off in the 80s and 90s.
What I found remarkable, being a student of government in the region and so forth, what I have found remarkable over the many years is how much pride exists in St. Charles County, that you live in St. Charles. And I remember serving in the General Assembly back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, 100 years ago. And the St. Charles delegation in the legislature, they had Democrats and Republicans. They were the most unified and effective delegate of any county in the state in terms of what they did. The Page Avenue extension, a huge development for the county. And everything was lockstep, and just how much unity existed. And I think that's still apparent in the county today.
I think so, John. And when you have your town named after, St. Charles, I mean, and all the things that we do out there, I think it's important to our community. And there's generations that, like you said, you talk about my family. There's a lot of the family names out there that are generation, and there's a lot of pride that goes on.
Our mutual friend, Steve Ellman, the longtime county executive serving his fourth term right now, just reelected to a fourth term. He wrote a history of St. Charles County, maybe 8-10 years ago. It's a fascinating book. I assume you've read it.
Yes.
But it's a story of, a really interesting and, for the time, diverse community.
Yes. Yeah. We had all kinds of different, you had the French, you had the German, and but it was a diverse community. Yes.
Catholics and Lutherans.
And the thing of it was, not only Catholics and Lutherans, but they married each other. And in my family, my father married Lutheran. My uncle Doug, who was the was the mayor of St. Charles, married Lutheran, and their brother Don had married a Lutheran. So you saw a lot of that. Steve Ellman could tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had all that intertwining of the families, and some of us went to Duchenne, some went to St. Charles, and we all got along. It was one community, and that's how we did.
And a big key to all of this growth has been the infrastructure, because when you start adding that many people, and now St. Charles County is larger by far than the city of St. Louis in terms of population. St. Louis City is the third largest area in this region. It's just, it is what it is. But that infrastructure, particularly the road system, has been a success story.
Yes. I remember when my uncle was the mayor, I believe, is when they did all the revisions on the Highway 70 bridge. And then they took down the 115 and went towards northern St. Charles, where they put in the other bridge, and then they got the Page extension. So they have done some great work as far as connecting St. Charles to St. Louis.
Yeah, because there was a time back in the 80s where, if you had to get to St. Charles for an event at 5:30, it was a problem, because you'd sit on that Blanchette trying to get over for, half an hour, 45 minutes sometimes.
I'm just glad I didn't have to make that trip.
Yeah, you were all self-contained. What do you think the future is of St. Charles County?
I still think it's still growing. You sit there and look. It's kind of funny. I was at Duchenne for many years in St. Charles West, and then I moved out to Zumwalt West out in O'Fallon when it started to blossom. And you have kids in class out there, and they come, "Hey, Mr. Boschert, you had my mom or dad in class back at St. Charles West or at Duchenne." And I thought that was pretty cool how that development, the next generation, went west. And now you're seeing the next one go out towards Wentzville and Troy in that area. And as soon as some of these kids start saying, "Hey, you had my grandma or grandpa in class," I think I need to retire.
Time to retire. Well, yeah, but there's no alternative to aging, except for death. So let's keep aging, right?
I agree with that.
So you've retired once and sat out a year. Now you're back at it. What does retirement look like?
I wish I knew. I did it the 1 year. I did my time in the public school system, retired. I thought we were done. And then I got into the fall, enjoyed my summer in the fall. And then when that winter hit that first year, it was like, This was a very tough one.
That's an experience that a lot of recently retired people have.
You do, yes.
You know, and now some of them, Chris Myhill, who worked here for 40 years, he retired, he's loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't think that's everybody's experience. And, you know, my retirement party is going to be at Bowie Funeral Home. So
I'm like looking, an invitation
looking forward. Yeah, you'll be invited. Michael's giving a speech. So
that may be a while.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, that's Paul Boschert. He's the athletic director at Duchenne High School in St. Charles County. He's also the brother-in-law to our own near and dear Michael Kelly. Well, he's dear. He's not near. He's out of town. Well, that's something you don't see every day. Matt Pajeski working the board with his skillfulness over there. Thank you so much. Little Yes right there that he's playing. Favorite band. Speaking of Yes, John Anderson, the lead singer of Yes, is coming to the Family Arena this spring, and I will
tickets.
Be there. Yeah. Shawn Michael Lyle. That will be fascinating just around the corner. It's Hancock and Kelly on KMOX. Well, we want to thank the Marines this evening, the few and the proud out there that are listening to the voice of St. Louis. If you were intent on watching that football game this evening, you're probably sadly disappointed unless you graduated from the University of Georgia. It is a blowout, even more so than any of us might have predicted. Well, Paul Boschert joins me in the studio here. He's the brother-in-law of Michael Kelly. He's the athletic director at Duchenne High School in St. Charles County. I've been talking about high school athletics quite a bit. And, you know, your family, the Boschert family, has a long and just fabulous history in St. Charles County. How far back do you guys go?
We go back, I believe, 1700s. We've got some books and things like that. You know, when the town was a very small little river town on the Missouri River. There.
There's a Boschert town, right?
Yes, there's a Boschert town, and a portion of my family settled down there on the farms.
Uh-huh.
And then... And then my great-great-great-great grandfather founded Boschert Town Golf... No, go-karts down there. No, I always use that as a joke. But that's a little go-kart place, you see, as you leave St. Charles North 94 and go out to Orchard Farm and out that direction through Boschert Town. And that was all my ancestors as far as the farming is concerned. But back then, John, you know, from there, you went west to Lindenwood University.
Yeah.
Okay? You would go south to Highway 70. And then north would be down where Boschert Town, and then that was down.
For many years, there was one way in, one way out, right?
Oh, it's the old 115 bridge.
Yeah.
And that was a small bridge, and I'll never forget my dad drove a truck, and he had to come over that thing, and there was many a time that you just wonder how you got that corner turn and not scraping on that bridge.
It seems that, because I grew up in St. Louis County, and it seems like there was always this, I don't know, almost as if St. Charles was some mysterious place that, you know.
It's because that river split us.
Yeah.
I get that all the time, that people, you know, I see this in high school when you want to schedule a game. Man, we got to cross the river. Well, I know you do.
There's bridges now.
Yeah, there's bridges. We can get you across, and I cross to come play you, too.
Yeah. But when did it start taking off? Was it the 70s or did it start before?
I think it was about the 70s. Uh-huh. Now, I was probably in high school when it really started to take off. You know, for those of you that know St. Charles County, you know, as far as the high schools were concerned, you basically had the city school of St. Charles,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, Duchenne, which came in 57. St. Charles is the oldest one there.
Right.
You had Fort Zumwalt by itself, Francis Howell out in Weldon Spring, and you had Wentzville. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's grown now where, you know, the Howells, the Zumwalts, and they've all split off into three or four schools. St. Charles West came in back in the late 70s. Wentzville now, four high schools.
Yeah. That's,
and the fifth one is coming.
The growth in Wentzville today that we're experiencing is just off the charts.
Yes. I said my two daughters, older ones, live out there and work out that direction. So, it's just everybody's kind of moving.
Was there concern from the long-timers there when the expansion started and all the houses start going up and people start moving in from largely North St. Louis County, but from all over? And you're seeing the populations take off and all of that. Was it welcomed by the folks that have been there a while, or were there some concerns about it?
I think it was welcome for the most part, but back when that was going on, I was a high school
young
kid,
guy,
yes, and I really didn't pay much attention to that.
Uh-huh.
But
you just had more friends.
I had more friends. That's right. Yeah, but it was just a unique situation where the churches were five or six blocks away from each other in St. Charles. You had the Catholic, the Lutheran, United Church, and you know, the different churches that were all in that same area. And then you had a two-lane road to go out 94, dirt road that direction, and then you go out west. Everything out west back in the 70s and 80s was all farm.
Yeah, all of it.
It was all farmland.
Yeah.
And it just took off in the 80s and 90s.
What I found remarkable, being a student of government in the region and so forth, what I have found remarkable over the many years is how much pride exists in St. Charles County, that you live in St. Charles. And I remember serving in the General Assembly back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, 100 years ago. And the St. Charles delegation in the legislature, they had Democrats and Republicans. They were the most unified and effective delegate of any county in the state in terms of what they did. The Page Avenue extension, a huge development for the county. And everything was lockstep, and just how much unity existed. And I think that's still apparent in the county today.
I think so, John. And when you have your town named after, St. Charles, I mean, and all the things that we do out there, I think it's important to our community. And there's generations that, like you said, you talk about my family. There's a lot of the family names out there that are generation, and there's a lot of pride that goes on.
Our mutual friend, Steve Ellman, the longtime county executive serving his fourth term right now, just reelected to a fourth term. He wrote a history of St. Charles County, maybe 8-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating book. I assume you've read it.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's a story of, a really interesting and, for the time, diverse community.
Yes. Yeah. We had all kinds of different, you had the French, you had the German, but it was a diverse community. Yes.
Catholics and Lutherans.
And the thing of it was, not only Catholics and Lutherans, but they married each other. And in my family, my father married Lutheran. My uncle Doug, who was the was the mayor of St. Charles, married Lutheran, and their brother Don had married a Lutheran. So you saw a lot of that. Steve Ellman can tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had all that intertwining of the families, and some of us went to Duchenne, some went to St. Charles, and we all got along. It was one community, and that's how we did.
And a big key to all of this growth has been the infrastructure, because when you start adding that many people, and now St. Charles County is larger by far than the city of St. Louis in terms of population. St. Louis City is the third largest area in this region. It's just, it is what it is. But that infrastructure, particularly the road system, has been a success story.
Yes, I remember when my uncle was the mayor, I believe, is when they did all the revisions on the Highway 70 bridge. And then they took down the 115 and went towards northern St. Charles, where they put in the other bridge, and then they got the Page extension. So they have done some great work as far as connecting St. Charles to St. Louis.
Yeah, because there was a time back in the 80s where, if you had to get to St. Charles for an event at 5:30, it was a problem, because you'd sit on that Blanchette trying to get over for, half an hour, 45 minutes sometimes.
I'm just glad I didn't have to make that trip.
Yeah, you were all self-contained. What do you think the future is of St. Charles County?
I still think it's still growing. You sit there and look. It's kind of funny. I was at Duchenne for many years in St. Charles West, and then I moved out to Zumwalt West out in O'Fallon when it started to blossom. And you have kids in class out there, and they come, "Hey, Mr. Boschert, you had my mom or dad in class back at St. Charles West or at Duchenne." And, and I thought that was pretty cool how that development, the next generation, went west. And now you're seeing the next one go out towards Wentzville and Troy in that area. And as soon as some of these kids start saying, "Hey, you had my grandma or grandpa in class," I think I need to retire.
Time to retire. Well, yeah, but, there's no alternative to aging, except for death. So let's keep aging, right?
I agree with that.
So you've retired once and sat out a year. Now you're back at it. What does retirement look like?
I wish I knew. I did it the 1 year. I did my time in the public school system, retired. I thought we were done. And then I got into the fall, enjoyed my summer in the fall. And then when that winter hit that first year, it was like, it was very tough.
I think that's an experience that a lot of recently retired people have.
You do. Yes.
You know, and now some of them, Chris Myhill, who worked here for 40 years, he retired, he's loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't think that's everybody's experience. And, you know, my retirement party is going to be at Bowie Funeral Home. So
I'm like looking, an invitation
looking forward. Yeah, you'll be invited. Michael's giving a speech. So
that may be a while.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, that's Paul Boschert. He's the athletic director at Duchenne High School in St. Charles County. He's also the brother-in-law to our own near and dear Michael Kelly. Well, he's dear. He's not near. He's out of town. Boy, that's something you don't see every day. Matt Pajeski working the board with his skillfulness over there. Thank you so much. Little Yes right there that he's playing. Favorite band. Speaking of Yes, John Anderson, the lead singer of Yes, is coming to the Family Arena this spring, and I will
tickets?
Be there. Yeah. Shawn Michael Lyle. That will be fascinating just around the corner. It's Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.